This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. We were up in Portland, Oregon earlier talking to Neil Cairns for our series, The United States of Work. 164 million people in the American labor force. We are telling the stories of a representative 10. Neil tends bar, you remember, and works in a game club. He is one of the two people in our reimagining of the labor force, representing the 20% of us who work in the service economy. But not all service jobs are the same. Right. So draw a line 430 miles east on I-84 out of Portland over to Boise, Idaho.
So cold. I could barely open up my car door.
Where Ashley Nelson, she is also 34, by the way, same as Neil, has lived the past 14 years. How'd you wind up in Idaho?
It's actually kind of funny because people ask me that all the time. And I'm actually from California and I moved out to Idaho for hair school, actually, because my dad lived out here. Hair school was about $10,000 cheaper here than in San Francisco. Couldn't pay my rent 1 month, and so my dad made me.
Wow. How much does hair school cost?
I think right now it's like $20,000, but it was $20,000 like 14 years ago in San Francisco, and it was like $10,000 in Boise.
So, Boise it was. Ashley enrolled in cosmetology school, and then, well, then she started cutting people's hair. Were you terrified?
Oh, terrified is almost an understatement for me because I'm now a recovering perfectionist. But at the time, I was a perfectionist, and it was like so detrimental to my career in the beginning because I was so scared to mess up anyone's hair. When people say like, "Oh, it's just hair," I'm like, "But it's on your head, and it's the first thing that everyone sees."
How'd you get over that?
Continuing to show up.
Yeah.
Just trying over and over again, thinking, honestly, God, that people kept showing up because I probably did a lot of bad haircuts and colors out there.
and you apologize for them, I suppose.
Well, right? Boise's small, so it'd be interesting to be like at a restaurant and you look over and you're like, why does that person look familiar? And you're like, oh, man, I gave that person a bad haircut a long time ago.
Many long hours on her feet, and 14 years later, she's got a thriving business. She takes home more than $100,000 a year. She's got clients she likes, a car that's paid off, and a house she bought with her husband a couple of years ago in a neighborhood she loves. Basically, the flip side of what Neil the bartender is living. Same service economy, different lives. So what does a typical day look like for you? I mean, what time do you show up at the salon, and how does that work?
I start between 6 and 8, but usually
in the morning?
I have a lot of clients.
People come at 6 in the morning for a haircut?
Yeah. I have a lot of clients that like that time. I even have clients like, oh, I start at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually joke that I call my C-class clients, my CFOs, CEOs, moms with like high-powered jobs that like have to just basically get in before their day.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, not to get all technical, but you are smack in the middle of the service economy, right? I mean, there's not much more that's service oriented than, you know, taking care of somebody's hair.
Yeah, it's interesting because as I built my career, I watched a lot of people work, you know, the hours from, you know, like 10 to 6. Mm-hmm. Well, 10 to 6 is when people are at work. You aren't really going to get like the type of clients that I was looking for during those hours. But
yeah, so who were you looking for client-wise?
I guess people who can like value my services, you know. I feel like my whole clientele has grown off of me just being patient.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to sit for 50 hours a week at a salon and sometimes make like, oh my gosh, like $200 in a week. Now it's like, I mean, I'm having to tell myself I can't work 14-hour days. So my days are very long. Very, very long.
Are you able to raise your prices? I mean, is it that good? Is it that busy?
Yeah. I mean, Idaho's growing so much. So especially like where I live, Idaho just is like bringing in all of California, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's booming. I mean, I was thinking the other day, I started this client out maybe 10 years ago. She started at like $115 when she first started coming to me, and she closes out now at $200. Yeah.
It cost her $115 to get a haircut, and now it costs her $200?
That was for a cut and color, like when I first started, yeah.
Gotcha. Is this what you wanted to do when you were a kid?
Yeah, it was, actually. I remember wrapping fake perms on my grandma and telling my dad I wanted to do hair, and he told me, well, you'll always have a job, because no matter how broke people are, people will always come get their hair done, because it'll make them feel good. And I think he was right. Because in 08, that was like in the, like when I was building. Yeah. And it was weird to have people handing over cash to you and being like, oh, this is my bill money. And you're like, oh.
Wow.
Like you just felt bad. I'm like, oh, you're paying my bills now. So.
Wow. Yeah. There is a side of you that has to be a straight ahead business person, right? You have to keep your books. You have to crunch the numbers, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because that's the part that I don't think anyone realizes. And so if you're really good artistically and really good with people, but you suck at that, you're going to really fail. I mean, when I was in hair school, they said 90% of the people you're going to hair school with right now will not be doing hair in 5 years.
Wow.
And it's just wild because now when I look back, I'm like, man, there aren't a lot of those people doing hair still.
But she is making a go of it in the service economy. On the program tomorrow...
Nobody makes $1 million working in an independent film house.
The movie business in the Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, and the fourth member of our 10-person labor force. You can check out all 10 of them right now and dig into the data and our methodology at marketplace.org/work.